Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Lamed Zayin. We left off on Daf Lamed Vavam and Beis. We're going to pick up at the third medium-sized line on Daf Lamed Vavam Beis. Kasha, Mikom Makom Kasha L'Rabbi Yehuda. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ilui Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Aleha Shalom. It's also sponsored by Chani and J.J. Hornblast, in memory of J.J.'s father, Jerome Hornblast, Yaakov Ben Moshe Zichron L'Vracha, whose yard site was last Friday, and memory of Chani's father, Meir Penstein, Meir Yosef Ben Avram, whose yard site is today, Neshama Shem and Aliyah. Meir Penstein was Echad Mibnei HaChabura. He was a virtual member of this shir and a tremendous lover of Torah, and the Neshama Shem and Aliyah, the whole family, should have continued Nechama. It's also sponsored by Seymour Gertz in memory of his father, Rabbi Aryeh Leib Ben, Rabbi Lazar Isaac, all of the Shalom, his yard site is this Sunday, Neshama Shem and Aliyah, and we thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to do is revisit the conversation we were in the middle of yesterday, which is the discussion whether Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Shavuya remains B'Kedushasa. Rabbi Yehuda had said in the Mishnah that a Shavuya still receives Knas, even though she was Nishpes beyond the age of 3. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda holds that she remains B'Kedushasa. We don't assume that anything happened to her. So the Gemara is asking stiras all over the place. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that a Shavuya remains B'Kedushasa? And we're going to deal with those stiras. Then the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly, the whole parak is about Kamalei B'Drav Mineh, so we're going to talk about what exactly is the source in the Torah for Kamalei B'Drav Mineh. We've already had a few options, but you shouldn't have a few options. There should be one option of what the source is. Why does the Torah have to tell me in a number of different places that there's such a concept of Kamalei B'Drav Mineh? And that's going to lead into a discussion of what seems like even more psukim in the Torah, even more sources in the Torah for the idea that if a person is Chayiv Misa or Chayiv something that's akin to Misa, that you're not allowed to just pay off, that you're not allowed to just give money and therefore thereby achieve your kapara instead of receiving Misa. And why do I need like 5 different psukim to tell me that basic idea that you can't just give kofar nafsho, you can't just give money instead of receiving the Misa? So those are the 3 basic topics about a shvuya, whether she's b'kedushasa kaima, the source for kamalei b'drav mineh, and the source, or why we need so many sources for the idea that you can't pay off in order to avoid a more severe, a kapara that would involve a more severe punishment. So says Marmi Kalmakum Kashla Rabbi Yehuda, third medium sized line on Lam Vavam Beis, that we had said that it's a stira in Rabbi Yehuda whether a shavuya is considered to be b'kedushasa or not. So the Gemara gives 2 answers to the stira that we raised yesterday within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Number one, Amra Papa Ema Rabbi Yehuda Ben Kach Ben Kach Yisaena. One of the brises we had the wrong text. What Rabbi Yehuda really meant to say is that if a man redeems a woman is redeemed from captivity, he doesn't have to worry about anything. He's allowed to marry her. So Rabbi Yehuda, in that brisa, is also going to assume b'kedusha sakai, not only in our Mishnah, does he assume that she remains b'kedushasa? The brisa that we learned yesterday that says that hapoda es hashvuya yisaena meid ba lo yisaena, and then Rabbi Yehuda says bein kachu. We had the girsa of lo yisaena. No, change the girsa. It's yisaena. Don't worry about it. She's a shvuya. She's b'kedushasa kaima. Or alternatively, a second approach. Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua Omer Li'olam Kedektani. Keep the girsa and the brisa the way we had it. Where Rabbi Yehuda says bein kach lo yisaena. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say you're not allowed to marry her? I thought Rabbi Yehuda holds b'kedushas akaima, that nothing happens to her, that nothing's going to happen to a shvuya. Rabbi Yehuda devreim drabanan kamar lehu. Enochinami, he holds nothing happened to her. And when Rabbi Yehuda says lo yisaena, he's speaking within the shita of the rabbanan. And what he's arguing is lididi bein kach yisaena. If you were to ask me what the halacha is, I would tell you you have no hesitation about marrying a shvuya. After all, nothing happened to her. Elulid. But according to you, who are concerned that maybe she was niveles, bein kach, lo yisaena mibayilei. Why are you making distinctions whether he was meidba or not meidba, whether he was poder her or not poder? Don't make any such distinctions. She's a shvuya, and according to you, every shvuya has to be assumed to have been nitmes, so it should be lo yisaena. V'rabbanan, and the Rabbanan would respond to Rabbi Yehuda, know that it makes sense to distinguish between a case where the guy himself was poder her and meid for her, and a case where he was not poed to her. Hapodes hashvuya made by yisaena. If he was poed to her and made that nothing had happened to her, we agree that he'll be allowed to marry her, because a person wouldn't throw his money away to be poed hoda a woman who he knows was violated. But made bakadi lo yisena. But if he never threw money into, he never invested any money into this woman. All he did was to be made that she's okay. Shema ein of nasan. But then we have to be choshesh that maybe he just wants to marry her, but we don't really know that she's necessarily tahora. So whereas Rabbi Yehuda's always going to say that I'm not concerned at all and that I think she's probably tahora, the Rabbanan will say it depends. If he put money into it, then I agree. But if he didn't put money into it, then we're not going to agree. So now the Gemara asks another kasha on this idea that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a shvuya is b'kedusha sakayma. So Rami le Rav Papa Bar Shmuel le Rav Yosef, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel asks a stira to Rav Yosef, is some Rabbi Yehuda b'kedusha sakayma? Does Rabbi Yehuda really consistently hold that a shvuya is b'kedusha sa v'atanya? But don't we have a brisa that tells us the following? Let's say a woman converts, and on the very day that she converts, she becomes a nida. Now here's the thing. While a woman is a goya, when she's not yet Jewish, if she sees dam, she does not halachically become a nida. Physiologically, it's obviously the same thing. She's getting her period, but it does not make her a nida. There is no tumas nida for a nachris. So normally the halacha is that if a woman sees dam, she's tameh, certainly. But do we assume, let's say she goes to the bathroom and she sees that there's dam there. She doesn't know when that dam came out. It could have come out 10 minutes ago. It could have come out right now. It could have come out 3 days ago. So what do we assume? So it's a machlokas in the Mishnah Maseches Nida, the first Mishnah Nida, as well as machlokas in Maseches Eduyos, what the halacha is. One shita is that we go back mifkida lufkida, as far back as the last time she checked. If the last time she checked for whatever reason was 3 days ago, so all the tyrus that she touched in the last 72 hours are all going to be tame. The other shita is, no, we go back dayashaita. We don't go back at all. She found it. She's tame right now. There's no tumul mafreya. That is certainly the din on a daraisa level. On a daraisa level, it's dayashaita. We paskin like the chachamim that say mifkido lufkido or me'es la'es, whichever was more recent, the 24 hours or the last time she checked. So if the last time she checked was 36 hours ago, she's tamei l'mafreya for 24 hours. If the last time she checked was 6 hours ago, she's only tamei l'mafreya for 6 hours. But what happens if a woman converts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and she sees dam at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? She hasn't checked herself in the last 24 hours. So you're going to say that she's matame everything l'mafreya 24 hours? That can't be. She was a non-Jew 24 hours ago. So how do we deal with a giyorish in the skyra, and then she sees dam within 24 hours? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, dayashaita. Rabbi Yehuda says she's only tame from the moment she found the dam, because you can't be matame her me'es la'es. Because if she actually became, if she actually saw the dam 24 hours ago, we wouldn't have been able to be matame her. So we're not choshesh that maybe the dam came out in between the tevila and right now. Meaning the whole idea of Tumah L'mafreya is a din midrabanan, so the Rabbanan only instituted it where there's a possibility of being metame her me'es la'es. So over here, there's no possibility of being metame me'es la'es, and therefore the Rabbanan did not institute Tumah L'mafreya. Why do I need that reason to say that we're not going to be metame l'mafreya? That the whole thing is Rabbanan, isn't it a sfex feika? Now, first of all, maybe the dam just came out right now. And even if the dam did come out l'mafreya, maybe it was so l'mafreya, it was before the conversion, in which case she's not tame. So, in which case she wouldn't be, that dam would not have been metame her. So, shouldn't the sfex feika alone be enough to say that she's only tame mikan l'aba? Okay, so that's what Rabbi Kivegar asks on the explanation of Rashi, that it's all about the fact that it's a Tumah Midrabanan that Rashi had said, and therefore we're not going to impose this Tumah Midrabanan if there's no possibility of Me'es La'es. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. She's only Tamei right at this point. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Harei Kikol HaNashim Mutam Me'es La'es Mufkida L'fkida. Rabbi Yossi says, no, she has the same halacha as any other woman, and therefore, just like any other woman, whichever is more recent, 24 hours, or the last time she checked, so this woman also, we give her Tumah L'mafreya. Now, certainly, we're not going to be Mutam her l'mafreya all the way back to me'es la'es, because that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It means, just like we would be metame a normal woman me'es la'es 24 hours back, we'll go back to the time of this woman's conversion. So if she converted 2 hours ago, we'll say that she's been tame since the moment she converted. So mishenis gaiva, we're going to be metame here. That's how Tosus explains in Dibur Maskel Rav Rabbi Yehuda, that the Me'es Le'es over here doesn't mean Kipshuto. It doesn't mean that we actually are Metami or Me'es Le'es, because that makes no sense whatsoever. She was a Goya at that time. No, it means Me'es Le'es, that Bitoras Me'es Le'es, we're going to be Metami her Lemafreya. What does that have to do with us? Nothing, absolutely nothing. But the next line has to do with us. So again, we're trying to figure out, does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that a shvuya is b'kedushas hakayma? So here's the next line about a gioras. Utzricha lahamtin shlosha chadashim. That a gioras, before she can get remarried, has to wait 3 months to make sure that she hadn't become pregnant from a nachri. Because if she's going to get married now that she's a Jewish woman, she's married to a Jewish guy, we want to know whether the baby was conceived b'kedusha. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, matir li'aris v'nasi miyad. And Rabbi Yossi says, nah, you don't have to wait 3 months. Let her get married right away. So that's the stirin Rabbi Yehuda, because when it comes to a Gioras, he says you need to wait 3 months, because we're choshesh that maybe she was nivelas to a guy before she was megayer, even though l'chora, a woman is not just megayer at the drop of a hat. She's obviously been working toward this, she's been learning, she's been figuring out whether she wants to make this life change, and you would imagine that at that point she's not going to be mafkir herself to a nachri, but nevertheless Rabbi Yehuda says when she was a nachris, we have to assume that maybe she had beer with a nachri, because it's impossible when she's living amongst the chavim, it's impossible to be shomer atzma, to protect herself and make sure that nothing like that happens. So therefore, kal v'chomer legabe yeshvuya, where she's mamish being held in captivity by the chavim, that it's impossible for her to be shomer atzma. And that's the stirin Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says that a shvuya is b'kedushas hakayma, you can trust that nothing happens, she didn't do anything. Yet even by a regular nachris, we say that she can't be shomer atzma, and that we have to assume that she did something. Kavul Chomer by Shvuya would say such a thing. Samalei, Rav Yosef said to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, Gioras of Shvuya Karamis. You're asking, you're comparing apples and oranges. You can't compare a Gioras to a case of a Shvuya. Gioras lo minatra nafsha. Shvuya minatra nafsha. A Gioras will not be able to protect herself even if she wants to be Megayer, but a Shvuya is going to be careful not to be nevelas to Nachrim. That there's a difference between a Gioras and a Shvuya, meaning a Gioras is not choshe, she's not trying too hard to watch over herself, even though she wants to be Megayer, because she assumes that after she's Megayer, she'll wait 3 months before she gets married to be Mafkin, Bein Zara Kodesh, the Zara Apostle. But a Shvuya just doesn't want to be taken advantage of by these people. She's already a Jewish girl. She doesn't want to be taken advantage of by these people. Gioras, at the time, she was a Nachris, so she's not worried so much. But a Jewish girl certainly doesn't want her captors to be bothering her, and therefore you can assume that she'll protect herself. She'll do whatever she can to protect herself. So says Gemara, okay, you can't ask a stira between Shvuya and Gioras, but Varami Shvuya Ashvuya. Maybe I could ask you a stira within the world of Shvuya itself. Titanya Hagioras Vashvuya Vashiv Khashiniftu Shinskai Vishna Shtachru. Yeserus Adnos Shal Shal Viamechad. That if a woman is held in captivity and released after she's 3 years old, Srichalamtin Shlosh Khadashim, she does need to wait 3 months from the time that you're poda her, from the time that she's Megayer, until she gets married, because you need to be able to be mavdin between Zera Kosher and Zera Apostle. Could be that she became pregnant. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yossi matir li'aris l'nasi miyad. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you don't have to be choshish for anything. She was not nivela la'akum, and therefore you don't need to wait 3 months. So wait a second. Rabbi Yehuda says that even a shvuya needs to wait 3 months. This isn't about a gioris, this is about a shvuya. So here we have a stira within shvuya. So Ishtik, Rav Yosef didn't know how to answer such a kasha. So Amaleis, Rav Papa, he said to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, Midi Shmielach Baha, maybe you're asking me this kasha, maybe you have an answer, meaning sometimes people ask questions because they want to hear your answer, sometimes they ask questions because they want to tell you their answer. So Midi Shmielach Baha, do you have a teretz? So Amaleis, Hachi Yam Rav Sheshes, yeah, I have a tradition from Rav Sheshes, Sharavua Shenivala, that the Bryce is talking about a case where we know that she was nevelas. So even though Rabbi Yehuda holds a shvuya is becheskas, Shemura, she's becheskas that she didn't do anything. But if you know that she was nivela, you don't follow chazaka. Chazaka is when you're not sure what happened. But if you know that she was nivela, so then you can have to wait 3 months. So says Mar, yeah, but Ihachi, my time with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi disagreed. Rabbi Yossi said that you don't have to wait 3 months. But if the case is, the ukimta you're going to make is ruwa shenivela, how could Rabbi Yossi say that you don't need to wait 3 months? So Amarabba, Kasav Rabbi Yossi, Isha Mezanim, Shameshes Bimok, Shlot Tesaber. We know that she was nivela, but Rabbi Yossi is very confident that she used some sort of birth control in order to make sure that she didn't become pregnant, because she used a moch in order to draw all the zera out and make sure that she doesn't become pregnant. or to sponge up all the zera and make sure she doesn't become pregnant, because she doesn't want to become pregnant to these nunim, to these captors. So that's what Rabbi Yossi says, that in a chinami, the ukimta is, we know that she was nevelas, and even though we know she was nevelas, I'm not worried that she's pregnant. So says Mar Bishlam a giores, I understand why a giores, that is megayer, you're not concerned that she's pregnant, because given the date of the gyur minatu nafsha, since her plan is to be megayer, she's certainly going to protect herself and make sure nothing happens, and she'll prepare moch in order to not get pregnant. Shvuya nami de lo yada heichem amtula, and also shvuya, she doesn't know where she's being brought and what they're going to do to her. So when she's packing her bags, when she's being brought into captivity, she's going to make sure to bring some moch in order to protect herself. Shivcha nami de shama mi pimara, and also shivcha. Understand that she hears that she may be released, she may be freed, and she may therefore become a Jewish woman. So she's going to want to make sure that she's starting with a clean slate. So whenever she's mishamish, she's going to be mishamish b'moch. All of that makes sense. But what about a woman who was a shivcha and she went free, but there were no plans to free her? It was something that happened very suddenly. The halacha is that if the adon is mapil her shein or ayin, if he knocks out her tooth or he knocks out her eye, so she automatically goes free. That was not part of the plans. That's just some accident that suddenly happened, and now she goes free. So there was no planning for that. So how can you, Rabbi Yossi, be so confident that she's not pregnant because she's going to be mishameshes b'moch? She's going to use moch. She's not going to use moch. She doesn't know that freedom is in her future. Maybe you're going to say in a chinami, if ever her freedom comes in a sudden way, like with Shein Va'ayin, Rabbi Yossi would be moda that you need to wait 3 months. Case of an anusa is something that a woman doesn't know, she doesn't plan for, she doesn't know when it's going to happen, and she could not have prepared a moch for it. V'tanya anusa mufuta tzrich zamtu shlosh chadashim, and yet an anusa and a mufuta does need to wait 3 months. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi matir la'aris l'nasim miyad, but Rabbi Yossi says that she does not need to wait. So don't tell me the whole reason Rabbi Yossi says she doesn't need to wait is because she's going to be mishamish b'moch, because she knows that something might be changing in her life by an anusa. She has no idea something's going to be changing in her life, so she would not have prepared a moch. And still Rabbi Yossi says you don't have to wait the 3 months. So what's the svara for Rabbi Yossi? Again, the whole ukimta we made is that we know she was nevelas. If we don't know she's nevelas, you assume b'kedusha sakaima. That's Rabbi Yossi. You assume everything is fine. The only time that you don't assume everything is fine is if you know she was nevelas. And even when you know she's nevelas, Rabbi Yossi says, I'm still not worried that she's pregnant, because she's always going to be mishamish b'moch. How can you say she's only going to be mishamish b'moch if she has no warning in advance, if she's an anusa? That may be a less reliable form of birth control, but one that's reliable enough, Rabbi Yossi says, is that if a woman is ever having a bia, not in a context where she would want to become pregnant, like if a man is being ma'aneser, she can contort her body in such a way to make sure that she, right after the bia, to make sure that she does not become pregnant. She'll be mishapeches in order to make sure she does not become pregnant. Not quite as reliable as using a moch, which sponges up all of the zera, but nevertheless, it's good enough. The idach and Rabbi Yehuda says that no, you need to wait 3 months. Cheshi neshem elam nevcha yafa yafa. That is a very unreliable form of birth control, meaning she may not know how to contort her body in such a way to prevent pregnancy from happening, and therefore we have to be choshesh that in such a case where we know that she was nevelas, that maybe she in fact is pregnant. Now, this whole idea of havchana is always a fascinating discussion, because we still apply these halachas of havchana. Question is, and the Gemara in Yevamah said that we have like a low plug, that a woman is megayer, we automatically assume that she needs 3 months of chana. If a woman receives a get, we automatically need havchana. What if a woman receives a get, the husband has been ma'agin her for 10 years, and finally they receive the get, they haven't seen each other in 10 years. So the Gemara in Yevamah says, low plug, you still need to wait 3 months until you get married. So contemporary posts can discuss to what extent. What if we're not confident that she's going to be able to get remarried afterwards, and she needs to get married right now? What if she's sick? What if there's some sort of shas ad chak that it's a very pressing situation right now? So the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Har Tzvi in Eben Ezra Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Ches was asked about a woman who was shas ruach. She was in a difficult emotional state, received a get, and after they were already separated for 2 years, and now she has a shidduch, and meikra din, she should wait 3 months. But because of a number of factors involved in that case, if you don't let her get married right away after the get, get, the shidduch is going to be nisbatel. Like the guy comes and he says, now or never, right? And so for whatever reason, the shidduch is going to be nisbatel, and it's going to be a sakana for her health if she's not able to get remarried. So the shaila is, can we be mevater on the 3 months? Meaning we know nothing happened. They haven't been together. She hasn't been with her husband in 2 years. So can we be mevater on the 3 months? So he says, now, if we know that for sure, that she hasn't been around her husband, I, the Gemara in Yevama, says, and we paskin Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer and Simin Yud Gimel, lo plug. So he says, it's a chashva Magen Avram to be aware of in Hilchas Pesach. Magen Avram and Simin Taf Mem Zayin writes the name of Trumas Hadeshen, that even when we make a low plug, whatever is only because of a low plug is more kal than the actual din. So even though low plug would seem to imply that it's all in the same category, low plug means that we try to be machmir, but we're always a little bit, low plug is never quite as severe as the actual din. So he says, if it's such a shasat chak, where the whole shidduch is going to be nisbatel, so on a low plug you could be makel. Meaning on the actual din of havchana, which is also only din derabbanan, you can't be makel. But on the low plug of havchana, where you know that she's not pregnant, that you could be making. And that is against Ramesha. Ramesha is a true Nigus Moshe of Nezah Chelek Aleph Sim Chavtes, where he talks about a woman who was married for 17 years, never had a child, and then her husband ran away for a long time, and now she finally received the get. Can you be matir her betochi me'avchana b'shas adchak to let her be, and again, the same situation. The shidduch is going to be batal otherwise. Or can you not be matir? So he says, eini ro b'zeh makom lahakel. He says, Chazal say to lo plug, I don't see any makom that we have to be makel over here. So Ramesha is much more machmir in those types of situations. Now there is a discussion in some of the achronim. Is a person allowed, is it permissible for one to be megaresh in ishumu uberes, to get divorced when a woman is pregnant? And he brings a raya, the Kerem Shlomo brings a raya from our sugya, because we talk about havchana for a grusha, because maybe she's mu'uberes, that you have to wait 3 months after getting divorced before getting remarried, because maybe she's pregnant. Well, why don't we wait 3 months before getting the divorce to see if she's pregnant? Meaning, elamai, you don't have to do that. Meaning, it's not a problem necessarily if she's pregnant. Now, there happens to be a separate halacha that lo yisa adam mu'uberes chavero menekas chavero. You're not allowed to marry a woman who is pregnant from somebody else. Meaning, if you wait the 3 months, then you discover she is pregnant. It's not just, okay, so get remarried. There's a separate din that you're not allowed to marry mu'uberes chaver. That's also a din midrabanan, that we're concerned that she's not going to care for the first child as much as she should, and she's not going to nurse him to full health and everything else. So there's two separate din of mu'uberes chaver and menekes chaver comes up every once in a while. Okay, so now says the Vayter in the Gemara now. So the Gemara, the Mishnah said that there is this din called kimle bidrabmine, and that's what the whole parak was about. How do I know this din of kimle bidrabmine? So we had said Shenemar, Mishnah said v'lo yason anoshe ye anesh, that if there is no death, then you have to pay. The implication is that if there is no nishmisa, then you're not going to have to pay. So says Mar v'ha mehachanafka, is that really the source of kumle bidramine mehasanafka? No, the din of kumle bidramine is derived from a different pasuk. Pasuk says kidei rishaso, and we darshin that the mishum risha achas atem mechayv v'yatem mechayv mishum shtei rishayos, that when a person is being punished, he's only punished for one thing. Meaning, even if he did an avera that should have carried with it several punishments, we only give him one of those punishments. So why do I need the pasuk of lo yason anoshe anesh? Shouldn't I derive kum l'dramine from kidei rishaso? So says Gemara, chada b'misu mamon v'chada b'malkus mamon, that the pasuk of lo yason anoshe anesh is talking about a case where there's a chiv misu and the chiv mamon, and it's telling me that once you get the chiv misa, you don't have to worry about the mamon. Pasuk of kedei rishaso is talking about malchus, that there's a chiv malchus and a chiv mamon. So once you get the malchus, you don't have to worry about the mamon. Utsricha, and I need both psukim. I cannot derive one from the other. Diyash minin misa mamon. If you only would have told me that when you're chiv misa, you're not going to have to pay the mamon. Mishum diika ibn shama. I would say, yeah, that's because it's such a chamardika thing that you're being chiv misa. So you're getting as severe a punishment as one could possibly ever get. So we're not going to throw mammon on top of that. Av malchus and mammon, but when it comes to malchus and mammon, to leka ibn neshama, where we're not costing you your life, say Malo, I would think that you have to pay your dues. You have to pay whatever it is for all the averus that you did. V'yashmin malchus v'amran. If it only would have told me that a chi of malchus is enough to exempt you from having to pay mishum d'lo chamar yisurei, I would say yeah, because the guy didn't do such a terrible avera. Haraya, he's only chayv malchus. He obviously didn't do the worst averos, and therefore give him the malchus. Why are you going to make him pay also? We shouldn't throw two punishments at him. He didn't do something so terrible. But if he did something for which he's chayav misa, that means he's a really bad guy. He did something really, really awful. Say him alo. So I would think there's never enough punishment for a guy like that. He's giving him misa, make him pay also. So tzricha, that's why I need to be told both in lo yason anoshe anesh and kidei reshaso to tell me that in both cases, both when you're chayav misa, you're patur from mamon, and when you're chayav malchus, you're patur from mamon, which is great and a wonderful answer if you in fact hold that both of those things are true, that if a person is chayav misa, he's patur from mamon, which everyone holds, and that if a person is chayav malchus, he's patur from mamon, which not everybody holds. So what if you disagree with that point? To the Rabbi Meir, da amar loke umishalem tarti lamali. What about Shitas Rabbi Meir? A Meir holds that we don't say kam lebidramine to malchus and mamon. So now what do I do with kidei reshaso? Kidei reshaso is supposed to be teaching me kam lebidramine. It can't be teaching me kam lebidramine be malchus and mamon, because Rabbi Meir holds you get malchus and mamon. So says Mariah, chada b'misa u'mamon, chada b'misa u'malchus. Not malchus and mamon. There's misa and mamon, and there's misa and malchus. So the pasuk of Elo Yeh Ason teaches me that if you're chayiv misa, you're not going to have to pay anything. And the pasuk of kidei reshaso teaches me that if you're chayiv misa, you're not going to also get malchus on top of that. So tzricha, and I need both of those limudim to tell me that misa is not only strong enough to exempt from mamon, but it's also strong enough to exempt from malchus. Di yashmina misa mamon. If it only would have told me that when you're chayiv misa, you don't have to pay mamon, because I would imagine you're not going to throw two different punishments at him from two totally different places, that you're going to punish him physically and you're going to punish him monetarily. That's kam lebidramine. You shouldn't do that. We shouldn't punish him in two totally different ways. But maybe I would think you can give a person malchus and misa, because malchus is the beginning of killing him, meaning it's not considered two separate punishments. You kill him slowly by giving him malchus, which obviously weakens him and hurts him, and then at the end of the process is his misa, that he dies as well. So I would think that we don't apply kam lebidramine in such a case. V'iyashvi inan misa malchus. And if you only would have told me that one who's chayv misa is part of a malchus, detarti begufei lo avdinan, we don't give a person two onshim that relate to his guf, that relate to his physical body, misa and malchus. But I might think that the rules of kam lebidramine do not apply when the punishments are coming in two different directions, when one is a physical punishment and one is a financial punishment, because then the two have absolutely nothing to do with each other. Maybe the svara is that if I'm physically punishing him, so kam lebidramine, why should I give him two physical punishments? But when there's mamun and there's malchus, the mammon is going somewhere, so let that mammon go to wherever it's supposed to go. It's not really about what he's physically going to suffer, and the misa is about his own physical suffering. They're two totally different parshios. So maybe there's a svara to say that he should receive both. That's why I need two pesukim: one pasuk of lo yasod to tell me that we don't do misa and mammon, and one pasuk of kiteru shasod tell me we don't do misa and malchus. Good. So says the Gemara, those are the two pesukim that seem to teach me kam lebidramine. But wait, there's a third pasuk. V'lo sichu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach. Pasuk says you can't take money from a rotzeach. That's a rosh alamus kimos yumas. The pasuk continues, you have to kill him. So it sounds like the pasuk is telling me, don't take from a rotzeach who's chayiv misa, don't take money to pay off his chayiv misa. So lamali, why do I need that pasuk? I already know v'lo yason anoshi anesh, that if a person's chayiv misa, you can't be mechayiv him money. So dam rachmana answer gemara lo tishkol mamona minei v'tiftre miktala. That's not telling me kam lebidramine. That's telling me a different din. That if a guy is chayiv misa, he can't pay it off instead, not in addition to. Kam lebidramine tells me that in addition to the misa, don't also make him pay money. And the misa is enough, and that's. But over here, this pasuk is telling me that the guy might come and say, look, I have a proposition. Instead of killing me, I'll pay $10 million. So we cannot accept such a proposition. That's what the pasuk is telling me, that he's not allowed to substitute money instead of misa. So I asked the Gemara, the next pasuk says that you can't take money in order for the guy to avoid running to a near miklat. Right? He just killed someone b'shogeg. He's got to run to a near miklat. He had just finished like 4 years of construction on his house in the city where he lives now. Like his house is finally ready. Now I'm going to have to run to a near miklat. I'm going to have to, you know what? I'll pay whatever I got to pay to avoid an ear miklat. Let me just pay my way out. So the pasuk tells me, you're not allowed to do that. But lamely, why do I need a pasuk if the previous pasuk just told me that a person is not mesu mishalem and golus is b'makom misa? So says the Gemara, meaning the Gemara over here is also assuming that what this means is not like I just said, that he's offering to pay instead, but that you don't make him pay in addition to, meaning that this is another source of kamedravmine, that in addition to going to Galus, he doesn't also have to pay. Says Gemara, that's not what the pasuk is telling me. The pasuk is telling me what I said before, that not that he doesn't have to pay in addition to going to Galus, but that you're not allowed to accept payment from him instead of going to Galus. That just like you're not allowed to accept payment from someone who's chayiv misa instead of getting his misa, you're also not allowed to accept payment from someone who's going to Galus instead of going to Galus. So now, when all the dust settles, we've quoted four psukim. The first two psukim are about kamle b'drabminei, im lo yason and kedei rishaso, and we said why we need two psukim to teach me kamle b'drabminei, right? And now we have two psukim to tell me that a guy can't pay off in order to avoid getting his punishment. But why do I need two psukim for that? One to tell me that he can't pay his way out of misa, and one to tell me that he can't pay his way out of galus. So trei krei lameli, why do I need two psukim to tell me that he can't pay his way out? So chad b'shogeg v'chad b'mezid, because one of them is talking about where a guy is chayv misa because he was rotzeach b'mezid, and one of them was where he was only chayv galus, where he was rotzeach b'shogeg utzrichi, and I need to be told in each of those cases that you can't pay your way out of your own esh. D'esh meaning mezid mishum d'chamri yisurei. If you were to tell me that he can't pay his way out of a chiv misa b'mezid, that's because he violated such a terrible isuri. He killed someone b'mezid. Avol shogeg d'lo chamri yisurei, but whereas b'shogeg, where it wasn't such a chamr d'gedin, emalo, I might think that he can pay his way out. V'esh min shogeg, and if only were to tell me shogeg mishum d'laki ibn neshama, I would think because, what's the big deal? Go to galus. We're not costing you your life. So therefore, why should we accept a monetary payment instead of the onesh? Live with the onesh. It's not such an awful onesh. Aval mezid hiki ibn neshama. But when it comes to mezid, where the other option is he's going to lose his life. Amalo, I might think that we'll do whatever. Maybe this is part of Yitzilu Eid or something, that we could do whatever we can in order to avoid having to kill him. So Tzricha, that's why I need both psukim to tell me that you cannot pay your way out of a more severe punishment. So the Gemara now came to the Maskana. Lo sichu kofel nefesh rotzeach tells me that you're not allowed to take money from rotzeach to patron from misa. So the Gemara says, but it seems that there are other psukim, not just these two. It seems that there are other psukim that also tell me the same din. That the pasuk tells me that you have to punish the rotzeach with misa and you can't be poded with mammon. So lamali, why is that pasuk necessary? We already know losichu kofar nefesh rotzeach. Says Gemara, mi bayle lechad tanya. Now this pasuk is needed to tell me a din by egla arufa, that in general when you find a mace between two cities, so there is a din called karov, meaning whenever you're not sure about something, we have a different number of different machriyim in halacha. So we have achriyam lahatos, rov is a machriyam in halacha, but the din of egla arufa tells me that there's a din of karov in halacha. That if the mace is close to one city, so you assume that that's the city that the mace came from, and therefore you do this whole process. The bezdin of that city does the whole egla rufa procedure. And what happens? They do the whole egla rufa procedure. Yadimu l'shavchas damazeh, and we do, you know, and they do the whole thing, and then we catch the murderer. Right, surveillance camera, they find the guy, they catch the murderer. Maybe the murderer could say, no, my kapara has already been achieved. Remember that calf that you beheaded in the valley, in the untilled valley? Didn't that achieve my kapara? So leave me alone, so I shouldn't be chayiv misa. So that's what that pasuk is there to tell me, that even though we already did the egla rufa, that's a placeholder until we find the murderer. Once we find the murderer, so then we go after the murderer. But wait, there's another pasuk by Parsha of Yaglar Gufa that also seems to be a little bit extra, that we have to destroy, we have to do whatever we can to avenge the blood of this person. So lamali, why do I need that pasuk? We need it to tell me the following, what's taught in the following brisa. How do I know that when a person is chayiv saif, that the beheading, the killing is done by cutting at the neck? Tamalomar v'atatvar adamanaki mikir becha. That the pasuk in the end of the parsha Egla Rufa tells me about the chiv misa for the rotzeach that killed this damnaki. So hukshu kol shofchei damim le'Egla Rufa. That teaches me that murderers, in a certain sense, are linked to Egla Arufa. Mala halon minat safar. And just like by Egla Arufa, the place where we chop the animal is on the neck. Sa'af shofchei damim minat safar. So too, when a person is chayiv saif for murdering, it's also from the neck. So that's what that pasuk is teaching me. That stam a din in Mises Beis Din, that when we do saif, it's from the neck. If it's really going to be like Egla Arufa, is that really what saif looks like? Like what we do with the Egla Arufa? The Egla Arufa, we take a giant meat cleaver and we chop it in the back of the neck. So over here also, you're going to chop in the back of the neck with a meat cleaver? Is that really what we do? So it says, no, there's a pasuk that says, and that therefore teaches us that you can't take a meat cleaver and chop him at the back of the neck. We have to kill him in as humane a way as possible, in as painless a way as possible, because that's part of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. This is a big kasha, because the Rambam in the sixth parak of Hilchos Deos writes that it's a mitzvah kol adam le'ehov es kol echem Yisrael. We have to love every Jew kigufo. Shnemar v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. However, the Hagos Maimonios says that that's only if he's reacha b'toru mitzvos, but if he's a rasha and he's not mekabel tochacha, mitzvah l'sanoso. And the Rambam writes that a rasha that you warn, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Rotzeach Shmiras Nefesh, that you warn him and you know that he's not doing tshuva, mitzvah l'sanoso. And there are psukim like this in Mishlei and Tehillim, that there's a mitzvah to be sonei a rasha. So which is it? And all the achronim ask, wait a second, over here it's a guy who's chayiv misa, and we're saying v'avta l'reacha kamocha. Obviously, he had asra'a, he didn't care, he did it anyway. There's no bigger rasha than a guy who's chayiv misa. And still we say v'avta l'reacha kamocha. So how can the Rambam say that it's a mitzvah l'sanoso whenever the person is a rasha? So a number of approaches in the achronim. The Tanya writes in Perek Lamed Beis that you have to hate the rasha b'rasha, and you have to love the tov in every Jew. So there's the Avam Soteris in every Jew that you have to love. But the Rasha Barasha is so a person can have two opposing emotions simultaneously, and that's not a stira to each other. That's how the Tanya writes. Others answer in by making ukimtas that it depends that the mitzvah is only while he's alive. But if it's while it's a chiv misas beizdin, so then I'm sorry, the mitzvah to hate him is only while he's alive. But then once he's having a chiv misas beizdin, that is his kapara, and therefore you have to love him through that chiv misas beizdin. Or it could be that maybe the idea of after rech kamocha barolo misa yafa is not about him, it's about human dignity, it's about loving everybody else by maintaining some semblance of human dignity and giving a humane misa. Okay, so whatever the answer is. So now the Gemara asks a pasuk in the parsha of Charam, kol cherem asher yachra min ha'adam lo yipadeh. So the Gemara assumes this comes to teach me that if a person is chayiv misa bidei adam, he can't pay off. So lamali, why do I need a pasuk tell me that? We already have several psukim that teach me that if you're chayiv something, you're not allowed to just pay with money. So mibay lelich detanya. No, we need that pasuk for the following brisa about the parsha of Eruchin. Minayin liyotze lehareg va'amar echad erko alai. How do I know that if someone is being taken out to be executed and someone says, I'll pay the erech of that person to the Beis HaMikdash? Minayin shalom amar klum. How do I know that he doesn't owe anything to the Beis HaMikdash? Shnemar kol cherem asher yachram in adam lo yipadeh. That yachram is a lashon of hegdish, that whenever you giving a cherem or giving something to Hegdish based on the erech of the person who's about to be killed, lo yipadeh, there's no payment that he's worth that you're going to pay. So yachal af kodim shenigmar din. Okay, you might think that same applies even before there was a gemar din. He had already committed the crime, but there was no gemar din yet that he's chayiv misa. And you say erko alai, I might think I don't have to pay anything. Tamalomar min ha'adam v'lo kol ha'adam. That the Torah is memait from min ha'adam, that not in every situation do we say that when the Nerach is Yotze Lehareg, then it's Lo Amaklum. That there is a place, there is a situation where a person will be Chayiv Misa and has already done the crime for which he's going to be Chayiv Misa, but he still has an Erech. And what if you disagree with this drasha? What if you hold that that erech is based on gender and age, and it's not based on personal circumstance, and therefore, even if the guy's about to be killed, you still have to pay the erech? So, sometimes someone is chayv misa b'dei shemayim, and they can pay money to achieve a kapara. Shinamar, because the pasuk says that if I'm the owner of a shor nagach, of a shor mu'ah that keeps goring, so really it says vehemus isha isha, that gamba love you must. That the owner is you must. So imkofer yusha salav. So the pasuk says imkofer yusha salav. I could pay instead of having to die. So yachal af bidei adam kein. You might think by misas bidei adam we say the same thing. Tamalomer chayr min adam lo yipade. Say ein li elam misas chamurus shigasan lekapara. I would only know that about misas chamurus where if you do b'shogeg you can't bring a carbon chatas, meaning it's too severe to bring a carbon chatas if you do b'shogeg. But misas kalus shigasan lekapara minayin. How do I know that even if all I did was violate something that's nisr kares, where if I did a b'shogig, I'd be able to bring karmen chatas. How do I know I can't pay my way out of that? Tam lomar kol cherim. That's why the pasuk says kol cherim, to tell me that you're not allowed to pay your way out of that either. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up from v'lomim elam. Okay, Shabbos.